Haftarah Pashas Lech Lecha. The Navi writes, Mi heir mi mizrach, tzedek yikra'eu l'ragloi. Who is he, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who inspired a man to come from the east, referring to Avram Avinu, who originally came from the east. Tzedek yikra'eu l'ragloi. Avram was a man who always called out, wherever he would stop, wherever he would be, he would speak about justice, speak about doing the right thing. Yitein lefanav goyim umalachim yard. Kadosh Baruch Hu, who inspired him to come from the Mizrach and head towards Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu placed in front of him all the nations, and he ruled over all the kings. Chazal say, this is referring to Avram Avinu, who was victorious over the four kings. Yitein ke'afar charboi, ke'kash nidav kashtai. Like dust is his sword, and like straw, like crushed straw is his bow and arrow. What does this mean? It's like straw and like dust. So pashup shat, it means there's so much of it, or it's sufficient. But everybody knows, very famous, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuvches, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanan bar Levoi. Rav Chanan bar Levoi teaches, Amar Shem Rabbe Eliezer. Shem, the son of Nayach, the great Shem, once met Eliezer. Right, Shem is much older, but Shem once met Eliezer, and he said to him, Ki aso alaychu malchi mizrachu mayrav. When those kings from the east and the west came against you, when you and Avram were fighting against, Atun hechia vitu, what did you do? How did you manage? How did you fight the war against the four kings? Amar lei, Eliezer told him, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bar Avram, v'ois ve'imi mine, he put me on the right side, v'avishadin on Avram, we were throwing dust, v'avacharbi, and all the dust we threw, the sand we picked up and threw, turned into swords. Gili, we picked up straw, v'avigiri, and turned into arrows. Shenemar, mizmar l'david, no mashem l'adoni, shev li'imini, ad ashes ayvecha, adoin l'raglecha. I was put on the right side until my master defeated his enemies, referring to Kedar La'imer and all the kings, Nimrod, Amraphel, Viksiv, and the Pasuk says in the Haftarah, says the Gemara, Mi heir mi mizrach, Kadosh Baruch Hu is wonderful, he inspired the greatest of all human beings to come from the east. Tzedek yikra'eu l'ragloi, like we said, this was a man who always spoke about justice and doing the right thing. Yitein lefanav goyim umalochim yard, Yitein ka'ofar charabai ka'kashni devkashtai, so the Gemara says, means to say, this pasuk in the Haftarah means to teach us, that Avraham Avinu was throwing sand, turned into swords, he was throwing crushed, trampled straw, and that was turning into arrows. And then the Gemara follows up with the same story which is brought down in Maseches Tainis, the story of Nacham Ish Gamzu, which also is a continuation of the story, because you see that Nacham Ish Gamzu also was zeicher to have this nace of sand turning into swords. Actually, the Medrash Rabbah in the sixth parasha brings a machlokes if the pasuk means to say that sand turned into weapons, that the straw turned into arrows, or maybe the Medrash has a shita that argues and says that the pshat of the pasuk is that whatever was thrown at Avram, the arrows and the swords which were thrown towards Avram, miraculously turned into sand and straw. Machlekes and the Medrash, each man the Amr has rice and psukim. Just wanted to mention, maybe we'll mention a little something about that soon. Now, to understand this chazal about weapons just evolving from sand, or maybe the other way around, weapons turning back into sand, so the Alchemy Amloyes in Pashas Lech Lecha, he has two ways how we can understand it, this Imshat. First of all, he says, we learned in last week's parasha, in Pashas Noyach, Rashi tells us that Tzadikim turn Midas Adin into Midas Arachim. And Rashi brings it, says, V'yizker Elekim, which is Din, as Noyach. Because things could get all good, even if it's Midas Adin, when Tzadikim are around. But the other way around, by the Rishayim, even Midas Arachim turns into Midas Adin. Says that Yalkemi Amloyes, if so, we can suggest and say that Avraham Avinu really would never want to throw sand at the Goyim. He would never want to throw weapons at the Goyim. The truth is that the Maharit has a sefer called Safas Paneach al HaTorah, and he himself says, we know Avraham Avinu was davening for the Rishayim of Stoim, and as great as Avraham Avinu cared about, as much as he cared about Chesed, and Stoim was mamash, the antithesis is Chesed, but still, Avraham Avinu would never do anything bad in his life, and he was just davening for the people of Stoim. So how is it Shaykh, says the Marit, how is it Shaykh that Avraham Avinu would go along and attack the people, these four kings, and just kill them? It's not Avraham Avinu. He would never do that. Even Habal HaGachash, they weren't coming to kill him. They had to take in his nephew. How does Avraham Avinu act that way? Ad kedei kach, that the Lakutei Basa Lakutei brings, and that's really what Shame, like we said earlier, was asking Eliezer. You know, when you were attacked, he says, when you fought those kings, what did you do? Means to say, I know that, you know, Hashem obviously would make Nisan for you, but how did your Avram, your master, act like that? He was the kindest person in the world. How did he kill someone? And that's why Eliezer answers, says the Yalkut Mi'amlai, and the Marit, and Lakute Basa Lakute. He says he didn't. All he did was throw sand. That's all he did. We threw sand. He's like, come on, guys, go away. He threw sand. He scattered sand in their direction. That was as vicious and as violent as Avraham Avinu could ever get. But what happened? Since they were Rishayim, so Nimrod, Amraphel, Kedar La'aymer, and all those other people, like Rashi goes and explains what kind of Rishayim, the Rashi darshans their names, what kind of Rishayim they were. So therefore, all of the sand, when it reached them, mitzad the mekavlim, mitzad the receivers, became something bad. The same way now we understand the other way around. When they threw weapons at Avraham Avinu, says Avraham Avinu was ish chesed, ish toiv, so all the din, all the midas ha-din, everything in the world just becomes rachamim, so it just flutter down as sand, or as straw. And the Lukuti Basu Lukuti actually adds, we can answer a very famous kasha by Chanukah, right? Chanukah is coming up soon? Yeah, maybe. Everybody asks a kasha on Al-Anisim. We say, Rabba Miyad Ma'atim, wow, what a nace. Kibarim Miyad Chaloshim, wow, what a moiridik a nace. But what's this going on and saying we Yeshayim Miyad Tzadikim? Why not? What's Tmei Miyad Tahirim? Why is that mentioned as a nace? Wouldn't you think that Tahirim could win over the Tmeim? Or Zaydim Miyad Eskis Arasecha? It's a lot of Tuitsim, really. It's one of the big, you know, five is biggest kashas which are spoken about by Chanukah. But according to what we're saying, the answer is there was an ace because real tzaddikim, real Eskis Arasecha, are just so kind, Drachei Adar Chinoyim, they just would never be able to go along and do a violent act. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them, they have to go along and like saying, "Ooh, Rabbi Sai, what are you doing?" And as they were saying, and they were like touching them, pushing them, maybe giving them a pat on the back, then the guy were dying. Means that it was an ace, that these tzaddikim, who are just so purely kind, were able to go along and win a war because they just would think was something they would never be able to do. So that's really what the question was about Avraham Avinu, and that was the response of Eliezer. Now that is the Mahalach of the Marit in Sefer Tzafas Paneach, the same Marit which is Tshuva's Marit, and well, you know, he wrote Svarma, famous Sefer on Kedusha, and everybody knows, and the Yalkut Mi'amlayas, and again Lakuti Basu Lakuti from Shmuel Alter. Now another Mahalach, says the Yalkut Mi'amlayas. I just want to tell you, right before it, there is a beautiful idea the Yalkut Mi'amlayas also mentions in a third point. It's not like such a pshat, which is also mentioned by the big, great Hasidic master, the great Hasidic Rebbe, the Naim Agadim, who writes that really this was Avraham Avinu's midah. He always lived the life of Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. He was so humble. V'nafshi ka'ofer la'kol tiyeh. Now it was Avraham Avinu's metzias, and therefore he was zoiche, that even though it was just offer, it just turned into weapons, or the other way around, weapons are thrown at him, turns into offer, because that was his metzias. He lived a life of really being offer in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, offer in front of everybody else. But I wanted to share with you the Yalkut Mi'amlayas in his second Mahalach to explain this Chazal about the weapons. He says, explains it based on a story with the Rambam. So here's the story. The Rambam, everybody knows, was a personal physician to some great Egyptian, if I'm not mistaken, it was a Sultan Saladin Salitzach or something like that. And you can check it up. It's quite famous. The Rambam for sure was by one of the great Egyptian leaders. I think it was Saladin Salitzach, something like that. Anyways, the Rambam was his physician. He's actually, the Olam knows that from the time he was hired to be physician for the Sultan and his family and his palace, the Sultan once said to the Rambam, you know, since you've become my doctor, I've never gotten sick, so how do I know that you're a good doctor? Pause for laughter, right? Preventative medicine. But anyways, the story goes, bring the Alchemist brings this story that one of the other doctors in the palace was jealous of the Rambam, jealous of the respect which the Rambam had earned from the Sultan, and he challenged the Rambam in front of the doctor, in front of the Sultan, to a physician's duel. You know what a physician's duel is? Each physician has to prepare a strong poison, and the other physician drinks it, and if you have an antidote which will save your life, then you win. If you die, you lose. It's very simple rules. And the king agreed to it for whatever reason. Maybe he was pressured politically. Says he liked the Yaakov Melech says really he liked the Rambam, but he was like pressured into it. And the Rambam had no problem. He said, I can deal with this challenge. And they signed a waiver. Says Yaakov Melech. Yaakov Melech was a few hundred years ago. The one of Bereshit is from the same one who wrote the same one who compiled the Mishnah Lamelech. Check this out, Rebbe Kuli, who compiled the Sefer Mishnah Lamelech together. He's a Talmud of the Mishnah Lamelech. So he writes that the Ram and this other physician sign a waiver that they will not, the inheritors, the Yarshim, will not sue the other family. So the stuff of suing is going on for a long time, it seems. It didn't just originate in the United States. So came the day, and the Ram volunteered to drink first. I don't know what the other guy was thinking. And the Ram told us, Tarmidim, before, that he's preparing a terrible poison to kill me. I don't know what he's preparing, but this is an antidote. And as soon as I'm out of sight of the king, force me to drink this. Stuff this drink down my throat. And this will expel all the poisons which are in my body. And the Rambam took this drink in front of the king, which the rival physician prepared. And he drank it in one gulp. His face turned black. He basically fainted. His tongue was hanging out. He was stiff. And the Talmidim grabbed him, brought him outside to the horse and wagon, and there they forced the stuff down his throat. Within like two, three minutes, the Rambam, all of a sudden, his body vomited out all the poison, and the Rambam was back to himself. And a few days later, he was fit enough to come back and prepare his own drink and come before the king and the sultan, and now the other guy has to drink it. Now the Rambam, like we said, was in charge of the king's diet, used to give him this sweet drink. I don't think they had tea back then in that country, if I'm not mistaken, coffee for sure not. But the Rambam would prepare some type of Swedish drink made out of some type of flowers. Flowers have pollen in them, which are sweet. It eventually becomes honey. So he would prepare a drink for him. Well, the Rambam prepared a very strong concentrate of that drink, of that sweet natural sugar. And he gave it to he put it into a bottle, sealed it shut, put that bottle into a box, like a flask in a box, stuffed some handkerchiefs into it, and went off to the palace. And he's now down at this, you know, this match, this showdown with the other physician. And Rama says, okay, no, you got to drink this. She says, I know, I'm fine, okay, no problem. And he also thought, you know, maybe he has some stuff ready, he had some backup plan. And the Rama says, I would like, if it's possible, for one of the people who are waiting on death row here in the palace, in the jail, in the dungeon. There were people waiting in death row. This was back in the day. People would be killed. Still some places that do that. So I'd like one of them brought up, please, as if, you know, to help me over here. So the king said, fine. They brought up some guy that was supposed to be killed anyways. And the Rama, you know, opens up his pekala. And inside there's like a box with a bottle and a whole bunch of handkerchiefs. The Rambam takes one of the handkerchiefs, stuffs it into his nose, into his own nose. And he says, we got to cover our nose and be careful we don't have to breathe this stuff. He gives one to the king and says, cover your nose with it. Sounds like, well, it sounds like, I know what it sounds like. And then the Rambam says, everybody who's nearby, if you don't have a handkerchief covering your nose and mouth, step back and move back. And then he tells the guy who's on death row, open up the bottle. And the guy sees everything that happened. He opens up the bottle, just, you know, goes to the table, opens it up, and he drops dead. He just has a whiff of the stuff, and he's dead. The Rambam steps up, took a spoon, took out a teaspoon of the liquid, and said to the king, Your Majesty, would you like to taste some? So his Majesty said, listen, maybe the previous physician's concoction didn't kill you, but it definitely made you act mishuga. What are you offering me? Poison. He says, no, Your Majesty, it's the same thing I give you every day to drink. just concentrated. The reason why this guy died was only because he was convinced that it was something dangerous, and his imagination killed him. The Rambam didn't want to kill his other physician. He knew he shouldn't kill his other physician. And the Rambam showed, he tasted, he gave the king to drink, and it was the same thing as every single day. Says the Alchemy on Lies, that's possible that these Rishayim who have been trying to attack Avraham Avinu, and they saw how Avraham Avinu was kept on surviving through the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Nisim, so Avraham Avinu picked up some sand to throw in their direction. They got so frightened, they imagined the worst possible scenario. They could imagine what's Avraham Avinu throwing at us, and their imagination killed them, says the Alchemy Amlayas. And the Bali Musar, we're not going to go there right now, but the Bali Musar mamish have a huge fuss about the Koyach HaDimyon, how it could be a terrible thing and bring us down to Gehenim, and how the Koyach HaDimyon can lift us up. And the Bali Musar would use the Koyach of imagination, which is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be mechazik their emuna. All the stories of Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, who were imagining Kriyas Yamsov and describing it and living it. And what we're supposed to do every Leil HaSeder, the Koyach HaDimyon. I heard from our Rav of Kornfeld Shlita that a bigger Lamdin means someone who learns the Sugya and is able to literally just imagine everything in the Gemara in his head. He sees it, all the details, the whole story, what happened. It all becomes a Metzias by him. Because that is the Koyach HaDimyon. Could lift you up, make you to the biggest Talmud Chacham, can make you to the biggest Maimon, or Chas V'Shalom, like with these Rishayim, it can literally kill them. So we mentioned today a number of Mahalchim in Chazal who darshan on the Pasuk and have Torah. The story about Avraham Avinu, the sand and the swords, the straw and the arrows. And we gave basically three Mahalchim. Mahalach number one was that Avraham Avinu just couldn't be physically violent. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, mitzad mekavlem, mitzad them, it turned into arrows, it turned into their deaths. Second Mahalach was the way we ended up saying it, was that Avraham Avinu, in the schus of him living a life of humility, of offer of ve'efer, he was zeicher to have this nes happen. And that was also in the Alchemy Amlayas, and the Noyim Agadim says this. Or the third Mahalach of the Alchemy Amlayas, that it was Pashit the Koyach HaDimyon, the imagination, they frightened themselves to death, because the Koyach HaDimyon is an extremely strong power which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into us. We have to use it properly. To Mechazek Ramuna, to this halacha, for example, to say Krishma B'Kol Ram, Shulchan Aruch says, and the Svarim HaKadoshim speak about many Svarim, Yisrael B'Shar HaShavayit, and further, Rebbe Ramayel Chmelzinsk, I think I mentioned this once in a shir. Every time before you say Kriya Shema, you should imagine that you are giving your life up literally for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if someone's saying, bow down to this Avodah Zarah, or I'm going to kill you. And then you shout out, Shema Yisrael. The Yisrael B'Shar HaShavayit writes this. And the Svarim say, that's why when Rabbi Akiva was asked by his Talmidim, how do you manage at such a time as he was being tortured to death, how do you manage to say Shema Yisrael? What did he say? Kol Yomai, my whole life, I used to be a star of Pasuk, I was always having sorrow through this pasuk. So a lot of Svarim explain, it means my whole life, every time I said Kriya Shema, from when I started saying Krishna the way I'm supposed to, from when I'm aware, I always said Krishna, imagining that I'm giving up my life for Kadesh Hashem. So now when it's real, it's not really such a big deal for me. It's not so hard for me. Because the Koyach HaDimyon can be the worst thing in the world. Like the Bali Musar say, could take a person down. He imagines how various, how good they're going to be. It's never, ever, anywhere close to that. Or it could lift you up and make you so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the power of imagination.